Well, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, as you know, so let me say happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yes, we think about pilgrims and harsh winters. We think about making friends with hostile Native Americans, the first Thanksgiving. But when we open our Bibles, we find that people have been giving thanks to God for a long, long time. So what is it exactly? I mean, what is this thing, giving thanks? And can we consider ourselves thankful people? We're leaving the Gospel of Mark this morning as we consider the attitude, the action, and the lifestyle of being thankful. As parents, we tell our children, say please and thank you. I mean, it's simple manners, right? But are those words, the words thank you, are they simply a sense of reciprocity or more? Is it simply a kind gesture in return for something kindly done to us or given to us? I mean, someone gives you a car and you say, thank you, but I wanted spinners on the wheels, you know. Someone compliments you on your singing, you go, well, duh, I've been in choir for 4 years. Thanks, though. You know, guys, you're sitting around the dinner table with your wife, and for the third time she says, do you like dinner? And you say, it's great, honey, but there's enough salt in here to fill the Dead Sea, you know. So I'm not talking about contentment. That's a whole different subject. I'm talking about thankfulness. Are we thankful people, and what does it look like? Now, I've told you a million times that I'm kind of a negative person. I easily see the negative, and it's work for me to see positive or really be encouraging. It's my natural bent. So a few weeks ago, me and a buyer were out for lunch in Bernie. It was a new restaurant kind of across from Walmart by Sherman Williams. And this is kind of how our conversation went. She goes, this is a great restaurant. And I said, eh. And she goes, don't you just love these pictures on the wall? They're really beautiful pictures. And I said, nah, I don't really like them. And she goes, I think this is a Christian restaurant because there's crosses all over this place. I go, non-Christians can wear crosses too. What does that mean anymore? And the food comes, and she goes, oh, this food is delicious. It's just wonderful. And I say, how can you eat that food on this table? Look how filthy the table is. Yeah, Claire was there. She was sick that day. So you know I'm telling the truth. So a buyer goes, I just love the paint colors in there. They kind of picked the same colors as the youth building. They really did a good job with the colors. And I said, well, if I own this restaurant, I'd change this and this and this and this and this. And that's kind of how our conversation went with Claire there. So we leave the restaurant. We're in the parking lot going to the car. And Abaya has had it. She's had her fill. So she goes off on me. She gets all up in my grill, you know. And she starts telling me that I need to be more thankful. Me, you know. And she says that I need to do what other people are doing, even people in this church, 30 days of thankfulness, because I need to change my attitude. So I basically tell her something like, well, I am thankful, so you can take a long walk off a short pier and leave me alone. You know? So, I mean, I was in a bad mood. I was acting kind of like Claire normally acts. But was I being thankful? Was I acting in thankfulness? I mean, can you be thankful and act like a reject? Here's the question, really, the question I'm posing to you. Can you be a sourpuss and be thankful? Can you be a sourpuss and be thankful? Our need this morning is to show the world that we're changed people, that we're God's people, by living thankful lives, by living thankfully. So what should this look like? I mean, I know that we're all seasoned disciples on the uphill road to the cross, but sometimes we need a refresher course, and this morning's refresher course is on how to be thankful. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to Psalm 116. Psalm's right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 116. And as we look at this passage this morning, I'm not going to exposit it. I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'm just going to use this passage as a starting point to prove a point. Psalm 116. And in this message this morning, we're going to have three main points. We're going to talk about offering thanks. I'm going to talk about giving thanks. I'm going to talk about the test of thankfulness. Offering thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks to God, and the test of thankfulness. Again, Psalm 116. And this Thanksgiving, as you live your life as a Christian, this Thanksgiving, as you meet with family and friends, this Thanksgiving, as you gobble up turkey and stuff your face with stuffing, I'm going to ask you to sing. Sing. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to each other. Sing praises about your children. Sing praises about the turkey and the fact that sometimes you act like a turkey. Sing. Because what we're going to find this morning is that a truly thankful heart expresses itself in heartfelt praise. Let's read together Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. And when I was in need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, had delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I'm greatly afflicted, and in my dismay I said, all men are liars. Verse 12, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And this passage really fits perfectly with the message last week, because remember, verse 1, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Last week, Lord, have mercy. So, I mean, he's answering that same question. Our first point, offering thanks. Offering thanks. Again, Psalm 116, verse 17. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. God's people should approach God with an attitude of thankfulness for all that he's done, for all that he continually does, for all that he's promised to do. It doesn't matter whether we're pilgrims in the new land, whether we're, you know, Israelites being led out of captivity to the promised land. It doesn't matter if we're talking about freedom from darkness, deliverance from illness, or food on the table, man. We should be thankfully receiving from God, because he's in the business of giving. He's in the business of giving, but are we receiving from him thankfully? And what we find is that when we are seeking to be receptive to what God gives us, and we are seeking to thank him for all that he gives us, then we're more thankful to those around us in our lives. We have an attitude of thankfulness. It starts with our relationship with God. In the Old Testament, under the sacrificial system, God's people sacrificed animals for their sin so they could have a relationship with God and so that they could receive his blessings. And during times of great trial and great adversity, people would go to the tabernacle and then into the temple, and they would ask God for help. They would make offerings, and they would make a vow. They'd basically say, God, I need help, and I need it big time, and I'll do this for you, and I'm asking you to do this for me, and they'd make a vow. And at the end of their vow, after the trial had ended, they would go back to the tabernacle or temple, and in closing the vow, they would offer God formal thanks in the form of a thank offering. And again, a thank offering was the fulfillment of vows made during distress. And as they presented to God a thank offering, it was done in public. Verse 14, in the presence of all his people, they'd go back to the tabernacle, offer a thank offering before everybody there, the whole congregation, not as showy or pridefulness, but in order to encourage God's people. God got me through this trial, he'll get you through your trial. It's just like in our prayer time when we pray to God and then someone says, well, I got to praise. We praise God together. But we first find the thank offering in Leviticus chapter 7, specifically Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, talks about the making of cakes and how they should be made. But the thank offerings are seen throughout the Old Testament. Let me just read a couple to you very quickly. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23 says, "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me and prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of the Lord." Psalm 56, verses 12 and 13 says, "I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." And then, of course, back in our passage, Psalm 116, verse 17, "I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord." Old Testament saints made a vow to God, and in fulfillment of their vow, they would offer God a thank offering. Now, as New Testament saints, we don't sacrifice thank offerings, we offer thanks sacrificially. We offer thanks sacrificially, but what we find is there are three steps in the thank offering, and those same three steps or same three parts should also be part of our offering thanks, whether we're offering thanks to God or to other people. And those three parts are confession, the act of thanks, and praise. I'm going to show you how these work from the words in Hebrew. And to make it very simple, as we offer thanks, they had a thank offering, we offer thanks. As we offer thanks, there should be two more parts, a confession and an expression. A confession of why we're thankful and the expression of our thankfulness. Now, this isn't that confusing, but kind of follow me. There are two words in Hebrew that are translated thanks in the English Bible. The words are toda and yada. Toda means confession or thanksgiving, and yada means praise or thanksgiving. So I want to show you the three parts of offering thanks as we look at these Hebrew words. The first part of offering thanks. Because remember, an offering is to be received. So if we want to offer thanks and we want someone to be receptive of our thanks, we have to do it correctly. The first part of offering thanks is toda. In Hebrew, toda, confession. Now, isn't it interesting that for thousands of years, the root word of thanks was confession? This is the why. This is the why we're giving thanks. This is an important part of our giving thanks. We're confessing why we're thankful. In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29, it says, "When you sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf." So what we find in the Bible is that not all thanksgiving was accepted by God. Not all thanks offerings were accepted by God. So that means the why, the confession, is really important. I mean, why? For what reason are we thanking God? Are we honoring Him or are we trying to honor ourselves? If we are thanking God for His goodness, then we need to be able to confess His goodness in our lives. Let me read to you Amos chapter 4, verse 5. Amos 4, 5 says this, "Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the sovereign Lord." So this is a negative example. They're offering thank offerings. They're sacrificing thank offerings, but they're not accepted by God. Why? Because it's all show. It's all hollow. They're bragging about it. It doesn't mean anything. And He rejects it. But I want to read to you Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. And now remember, at this point, part in Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of a whale, big fish. But he says this, "But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord alone." So even in the belly of a fish, he's offering songs of thanksgiving. But as he thanks God, what's his confession? Well, it says here, salvation comes from the Lord alone. Why is he thanking God? He's thanking God for salvation comes from the Lord alone. Only God can do what God does, and he's thanking God for what only God can do. He's confessing it, which shows that his heart's true. What makes offering thanks so special? The why. Father God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, Jesus, for being perfect when I'm so imperfect. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for paying the price that I couldn't pay. Thank you for. Oh, that for is such an important part. Well, let me give you a more modern example. Women, I'm going to ask you to choose. I'm going to give you two options. Again, talking about dinner. Let's just say, women, you made dinner for your family. Your husband comes home. Option number one, thanks for dinner. Okay? Option number two, honey pie. I didn't realize how hungry I was until I smelled dinner cooking. Now here's the confession. I appreciate your time fixing this food. Not only does it hit the spot, but it's delicious. You're wonderful. I love you. Thank you for being my wife. All right, what do you choose? Option one or two? Well, duh, right? Because option two, it comes from the heart. And what makes it stem from the heart? The confession of why. That's so important, guys. The confession of why. So in the Hebrew language, the word is todah, but in English we could say to-duh, you know. Thank you can be just words. They can be hollow or hallowed. Thank you, Abiah. What does that mean? If I add a confession, thank you, Abiah, for loving a knucklehead like me. That changes it. It's the why. So the confession and the why and thanks, that's the main ingredient. So from now on, if you're offering thanks, wanting someone to receive it, if you're offering thanks, number one, start with a confession. Whether it's your relationship with God or other people, if you are truly thankful, tell them why. Even if it's obvious, tell them why. Because that shows it comes from your heart. To-duh, it's confession. The first part of offering thanks is confession. Number two, confession leads to what? The actual act of thanksgiving. This is the giving. It's the offering. It's the actual word or act of appreciation. It's giving. You know, if you're giving thanks to your wife, you give her what she wants. A diamond ring, right? Or at least a hug. If you're giving thanks to your kids, you know, you give them a noogie. You know, if you're giving thanks to other men, you give them a handshake. If you give thanks to friends, you give them a card or flowers. It's that appreciation. It's active thanks. Thanksgiving is actively giving upon your confession of why it's warranted. So if it's warranted and you confess it's warranted, then you give thanks. Confession leads to active giving. So when you offer thanks, you have the confession, you have the act. And then the third part of offering thanks is yada in Hebrew, and that is praise. Praise. This is the how. When you're offering thanks, you have the why, the what, and the how. This is the how. Now, the first word, toda, means confession and thanksgiving. But the root word of that word is this word yada, which means praise or thanksgiving. So isn't it interesting? For thousands of years, the root word of the word translated thank you is praise. And from that word praise comes confession. In the parallelism of Hebrew poetry, we often find thankfulness, praising, and singing that they're synonymous. Let me read a few verses. Psalm 18:49 says, therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12 says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Forever. We find this connection of singing and praising and thankfulness. In fact, in our church, when we have our praise and worship time, actually what we're doing is we are corporately thanking God. That's what we're doing together. And when we sing the words of the song, we are confessing our doctrine or our faith, and we're doing it out loud in an expression that shows our love for Him. So what we find is that the natural outcome of the confession of our thanks and the corporate expression of our thanks in singing results in joy. When you sing to God, you find yourself getting happy. It's joyful. It's Thanksgiving. You know, when you sing to God, you're not singing country music. You're not crying in your Kool-Aid. It's joyful music. And it comes from the overflow of our heart to the God that saved us. Thanksgiving. So the third part of offering thanks is the expression that stems from our confession. And a natural expression seen all through the Old Testament and even the New is singing. Singing. Joyful people sing. Joyful people are joyful because of their relationship with God. The result is they sing because of the joy in their heart. Psalm 119:171, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May our lips overflow because our heart is overflowing. The expression of our thankfulness is the overflow of our heart. The expression of our thankfulness is the overflow of our heart. So my initial question, can you be a sourpuss and be thankful? No. No. I wasn't very thankful that day because thankfulness breeds joy, and the lack of thankfulness shows the lack of joy. And how can you love the Lord and act like that? And when you remind yourself you love the Lord, how can you continue to act like that? We'll talk about that more in a minute. So offering thanks, giving thanks, whether it be to God or others, offering thanks in a way that it's received has three parts: the confession, the act, and the expression. But the act and the expression can really be combined together. So let me just say confession and expression. If you are offering thanks to someone and you really mean it, it should involve confession, why you're thankful, and expression. Express it. Give thanks. So our first point, offering thanks, leads to our second point, which is giving thanks. And more specifically, I want to talk about giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Let's go back to Psalm 116, and let me read verses 12 through 18. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Skip down to verse 17. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. If thanks is active, if it's giving, if thanksgiving is giving, then what can we actively give to God as an expression of our thankfulness that he desires from us? What can we give God besides singing? We can give God our joy expressed in song. But what does God desire from us that we can give him? Again, I mean, if you're going to be give thankfully to your wife, you might get her a diamond tennis bracelet. Or if you're my wife, she wants a red Porsche. Or you just give her a hug. Again, if I give to my daughter, I give her a noogie. If you give to a friend, you get cards or flowers. You know, it's an expression of your thankfulness. But what can we give to God as an expression of our thankfulness? What can we give to God that he desires from us? Well, the psalmist here tells us. Verse 12, how can I repay God? How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? How can I repay the Lord? I mean, what can I actively give God to repay his goodness to me? I mean, our faith is active. Repentance is active. You know, we actively hope in the return of Jesus Christ. But what does the psalmist say here? Well, he has four I will statements. He says, how can I repay the Lord? I will, I will, I will, I will. And we find two couplets of two. The first two couplets, verses 13 and 17, basically say the same thing. We talked about the cup of salvation, probably a drink offering poured on the altar, and a thank offering, though those are offerings made in the temple. But look at the second couplets, verses 14 and 18, and they say the exact same thing. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Verses 14 and 18. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. All right, now think about this. In return for all you've done for me, Father God, and all you continue to do, I will thankfully do this. I will fulfill my vows. Now, in the Old Testament, fulfilling the vows had to, you know, was part of the sacrificial system, and it's all the stuff they had to do. But what does it mean for us New Testament Christians? What does it mean that I will thankfully fulfill my vows? What if it simply means obedience? Obedience. I mean, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and he becomes the Lord of your life, then you're kind of vowing to obey the Lord of your life. Obedience. So, you know, since God heard my cry for mercy, verse 1, since verse 4, I cried out unto the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. Since verse 6, since I was in great need, and in his compassion he protects the simple-hearted, which is me, for sure, and us, or simple-minded. And he saved me because I cried out, and God did this, I will thankfully in return seek to be his. I will thankfully in return be a Christian living by his commands and statutes. I will thankfully seek to obey in the presence of all his people. Giving thanks to God. Very quickly, we recently spoke about this, but what did God say to Saul, the king who refused to obey? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Then down in verse 26, he says, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Why did God reject Saul? Because he refused to obey. And then on the other hand, what did God say about David, a man after his own heart? Acts chapter 13, verse 22, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Okay, let's slow down there. He will do everything I want him to do. He will be obedient. A man after my own heart. So what does God want from us? Our loyalty, our allegiance, our obedience. And since we don't sacrifice animals anymore, because the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is eternally sufficient to pay the price for our sins, what can we give God in thanks for all he's done for us? What can we give God that he desires? Our obedience in the presence of all the people. So we thank God. We thank God actively. We actively thank him for saving sinners like us. And our obedience stems from our love and gratitude for God who showed grace and mercy on us. And we not only do we thank God, but we also offer thanks to God. And when we offer thanks, it involves confession and expression. All right, so our first point, offering thanks. Our second point, giving thanks, or thanksgiving. And this leads us to our third point very quickly, the test of thankfulness. Let me read to you Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. All right, I'm going to give you an if-then statement here, and try to follow me. If thankfulness starts as a heartfelt emotion in response to a kind act, being loosed in confession and taking active form in expression, then where does it come from? Let me say it again. If thankfulness is an emotion, a heartfelt emotion in response to a kind act that is loosed through confession and takes form, active form in expression, then where does it come from? Where does our thanks come from? It begins in the heart. So what's the test of thankfulness? Ultimately, the overflow of the heart. Because the mouth is the doorway to the heart, and what comes out of the mouth shows what's in the heart. Is it ugliness or is it rejoicing? Again, Hebrews 13, 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. So what we find is that when we sacrifice to God as New Testament Christians, offering thanks, through praise, which is the confession of an expression of our confession. What is the fruit of our lips? What is the fruit that germinates and causes those seeds to take root and grow? What is it that is reproductive and touches the lives of other people? As we offer thanks to God, what is it? What is the fruit of the lips? The writer of Hebrews tells us it's the confession of his name. It's verbally stating what we believe and why we believe it. It's verbally standing as Christians, not only understanding that Jesus died for us, but understanding that Jesus died for others as well, and telling them. And if we are thankful for what God has done, then man, we want to spread the fruit of our lips, which is the confession of his name. And notice the words here in the New Testament are just like the words in the Old Testament. Offer, sacrifice, praise, confess. The same wording. So, the first test of thankfulness is in Psalm 116, verse 1. The first four words of the psalm, he says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Can you say it? And do you mean it? I love the Lord. Can you confess why you love the Lord? That's exactly what the psalmist does. He says, I love the Lord for, which is another word for because. Because he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me, because the cords of death entangled me and the anguish of the grave came upon me, because I was in sorrow and trouble and I cried out to God, God saved me. Verse 6, the Lord protects the simple-hearted and he saved me. He tells us exactly why he loves the Lord. Can you tell us why you love the Lord? Can I really sit in a restaurant and act like a big sourpuss and say, I love the Lord? Because if I say that, if I verbalize it, and it truly stems from a heart that means it, I mean, if I really love the Lord, then as I confess my love to him, it should lead to an expression of love, which is joy or singing or whatever. You know what? You might have a muscle bulging in your back and you can't turn your head because you slept wrong, and you might just be in a bad mood, but when you say you love the Lord and you mean it, come on. It changes everything. It makes you think about larger things than your comfort. It makes you think about what Jesus did for you. I mean, can you stay sour? And some people, some Christians, they're acting. They're actors and actresses. They always miss the mark. They can never really get it right. They can never really lay claim to God's promises because the love isn't really there. They love themselves more. But when you love God, it changes everything. The first test of thankfulness, when you're in a bad mood, just verbally, in front of the world, say, I love Jesus. And see if it doesn't help you out a little bit. The second test, very quickly, of being thankful. The second test of thankfulness is singing. When I was a new Christian, becoming a Christian, I would skip the praise and worship service of our church. I would get there 30 minutes late because I wasn't going to sing. That was, you know, silly. And as I started to grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ and in my faith, I would come a little bit earlier, then I'd kind of just clap my hands, and then I'd kind of lip sync, and then I'd kind of move my hips, and then I finally got to the place where I just started belting it out. I just started belting it out, baby. What made the difference in my life from skipping praise time to really singing? I honestly think I started singing when I started to love the Lord. I started to praise him in humble thankfulness for saving a wretch like me. When I finally understood what God had given me through my faith in Jesus Christ, I started to give back to him. And I started to sing. Now, I'm not saying this so you can look around and go, well, I didn't see him singing this morning. I'm saying this to you. If you don't really sing, why? Do you not like the music? The drummer not here? Or is it because you're not quite there yet? And it's okay if you're not quite there yet, but admit it. Confess it. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be open and honest. I began to actively give expression to my heartfelt confession when I started to sing in church. That's where it started for me. Active confession to my heartfelt expression. So, in this message this morning, we have offering thanks. They used to give thank offerings in the Old Testament. We offer thanks, and when we do it with confession and expression. Do you mean it? Tell them why. Then we go to giving thanks, and when we give thanks, we do. We are active in giving, but when we give to God, what does God desire from us that we have? Our obedience and our will to become his will. And finally, the test of thankfulness is, one, do we really love the Lord? Or are we just doing this for show? And two, can we sing? So this Thanksgiving, and again, every day is Thanksgiving for us Christians, but this Thanksgiving, give thanks. Giving thanks is not just a trite comment. It's not just reciprocating kindness. It's complex and it's active. And it's actively giving in response to the confession of your heart. And you can be creative when giving to your wife or your family or your kids, but when it comes to God, you don't have to be that creative. What does he want? He just wants you to obey him. Live like a Christian, vote like a Christian, act like a Christian, you name it. And secondly, don't just give thanks, but offer thanks. Offer thanks. Confession and expression. The expression we find most common in the Old Testament is singing. Even in the New Testament, Ephesians 5, sing. Sing. With the indwelling spirit, sing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Sing. Sing. So this Thanksgiving, I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone and sing. Sing. Make memories that'll stick with your family for a lifetime. Sing. Don't do it because you're, you know, grudgingly, oh, the pastor said I have to sing. No. I want you to be joyful. I want you to be thankful. I want you to sing. I want you to open your heart and just give of yourself in the midst of your family as you give your hearts together. What a powerful thing. Sing. Sing. Confess. Confess how much you love the Lord. Confess how much you love each other. Confess and express it from the love that you have in your heart. So guys, so ladies, I'm not saying you don't need to sing to your husband. Sing. Sing. But I'm going to give, you know, since I'm your pastor and I lead from the front, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. So Roger, hit it. Me. Nobody cooks turkey better. I'll take a leg or piece of the breast. Nobody cooks turkey half as good as you. Baby, you're the best. I wasn't looking, but I knew you were cooking. I can smell stuffing on the side. But like heaven above me, it's the wife that loves me. Realize how thankful I am for you, and baby, you're out of sight. Okay. So just think how fun Thanksgiving can be if we really love each other, if we confess our love for each other and express it. And I'm saying maybe this year, try something different. If it's new for my family, let's try a little singing. You know what? What makes the difference between hollow thanks and heartfelt thanks? Love. You just can't fake it. Love. Every day is Thanksgiving when Jesus is your Savior. Remember, when you give to those in your family, confess why you love them so dearly. When you give thanks to the God that we serve, confess why you love him so dearly. And may the fruit of your lips, the confession of his name, bring others to faith in Jesus Christ as we live in thankful obedience to him. I close with 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 15 through 18, which says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be thankful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So as the praise team comes up, let me just remind you that you have so much to be thankful for. It doesn't matter if your house is that big or if your car is that nice. It doesn't matter if your job's permanent or temporary. It just doesn't matter. What you have is life and breath. What you have is family that loves you. What you have is a Lord that died for you. What you have is a God that created you and knew you in the womb. Man, do you have a lot to be thankful for. So just remember, but as you remember that stuff, remember that it should lead to an expression, and your friends and family should see it as it, the overflow of your heart spills out onto them. So as we close in song, know that I'm here for you to pray for you if you need it.